time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right. I'm so excited. You know why I'm excited? Because God is real, because he's doing great things in this dark cesspool of a world that we live in the darkening age that we are walking in every day. God is still alive, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world, that Jesus has placed you here to be a light, and so that's why we do what we do, because we want to make a difference in the world. That's what we want to do, and the Vintage Truth Podcast is a small contribution to that, and thank you so much for listening. Hey, I want to tell you some really good news that God is doing through this new book of mine, Interview with the Antichrist. And many of you are listening to this podcast right now, already have your copy. If you follow me on Instagram, by the way, you've seen some of the pictures that I've been posting. If you follow me on Facebook, you can see the video from my book launch party that we had last week. Just had a blast with some dear, dear friends coming out just to help celebrate God's goodness and the release of this book. And you know, it's so cool to hear people getting back feedback to me about the book and just how fast and how slow they're going through it. Some people just like, I can't go to sleep at night because I just want to keep reading this story. And so many people are posting about it and that type of thing. And if you've got a copy of the book, I encourage you to take a picture of the book with you in the book, say something about it, go to Amazon, write a review. Here's the cool thing. Within a couple of days of its release, this book, Interview with the Antichrist, was tagged and given the badge on Amazon of a number one new release in the audio version, number one new release in the Kindle version, and number one new release in the print version. And the audio version has already gone to the number one spot in its category. And so, wow, I mean, there's just this buzz going on. I'm in the middle of a ton of interviews, and ones that I have taped with shows and with hosts that are going to be released soon. Others, next week I'll be at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. I'll just be doing nonstop interviews all day long, morning, afternoon, and evening on these networks that are helping me get the word out on this thing, because God says in his word that he doesn't want his people to be uninformed. And one of the biggest, in fact, maybe the biggest cause of people avoiding Bible prophecy or avoiding book revelation or being confused about the end times and that type of thing, or being fearful about the end times, is lack of information. And the crazy thing is that God's already put the information right there in the Bible for us. It's like, you know, I was out in my my woods here, chainsawing some wood here recently, actually yesterday. But I was out there and I was sawing this wood that we had already cut down these trees last year. So the wood was just kind of laying there. And I was just, you know, going through my chainsaw, chopping up this wood and stuff. And all of a sudden, my chainsaw stopped working. And I'm like, what's going on with this thing? It's like it cranked up beautifully, first time. And then all of a sudden, it's just not working anymore. And so I began to troubleshoot and I began to look online. And finally, I consulted the owner's manual, and the owner's manual told me one thing that I needed to do to get this thing to work. It was something really very simple, and I did it. And guess what? It's going to work just fine now. But here's the deal. The answer was there all along. I didn't have to be anxious. I didn't have to be confused. I didn't have to worry. All I had to do was consult the owner's manual, and it would tell me everything I needed to know. And the troubleshooting that we need today concerning the end times can be alleviated just simply by going back to the owner's manual. And so one of the things that I've done through this book and I want to do in the next several podcasts is really take you through some things I think are really going to open your eyes as to what God really says about Satan, about Antichrist, about the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world today, and about how crucial it is for us to know. Because we live in a world today where people just say, oh, you can't know anything. You just can't know anything because there's so many opinions. And if there are different opinions, obviously there is no real opinion, right? There is no true opinion. Well, that's absolutely false. Just because people have views and interpretations and opinions about the end times and about Antichrist doesn't mean that there isn't something that is true. And what we find is true is really pretty clear in God's Word. And we're going to unpack this over the next several podcasts. By the way, this is extra stuff not found in the book. A lot of it is not found in the book. And you're going to find this to be very informative. And I hope it will stimulate you to want to dive even deeper. And so over the next several podcasts, I'm just going to be exploring this whole idea of the spirit of Antichrist. And is he an actual historical figure who's coming? How do we know that? And we're going to look at that straight from Scripture. But I want to begin, by the way, if you haven't bought the book, man, please just go right now and just purchase it. One click, it can be there for you on Audible. One click, be there on Kindle. And with one click in a couple of days, you can have the print version. Or go to Walmart, go to Barnes & Noble, go to any book outlet that you frequent. And if they happen not to have it in stock, just say, hey, why aren't you guys selling this book? This book is tearing it up. So I hope you'll go out and do that as well. So lots of good things are happening. And in subsequent podcasts, I'm going to update you on some things that are going on with the book and ways that you can continue to dive in and participate and really help this book, because it really boils down to you. Actually boils down to you. It's not just about Jeff Kinley going to the radio, going to a TV show and talking about his book. It's really about all of us, because we're a team. We're partnering in helping God's vintage truth get out to the world. And right now, this broadcast is going out to dozens of countries right now, up to 70 countries right now that are listening. And so just to let you know, you do have a big part in this. Now, there's a story. It's a true story, by the way. In 1951, this guy by the name of Eric Shipton, okay? Eric was a former tea grower that turned mountain climber, okay? I don't know how many people make that transition in life from growing tea to becoming mountain climbers, but Eric Shipton did. But one day he made this daring attempt to ascend the world's tallest summit. We know that is Mount Everest, but what, 29 feet, something like that? As he climbed upward, Shipton broke with conventional protocol and chose to look for an alternate route up this massive mountain that thousands of people have climbed. But during his arduous trek across the what's called the Menlung Glacier, this British explorer and his co-climber, Dr. Michael Ward, stumbled across a very curious find. It was an unusual impression in the snow and the shape of a humanoid-like footprint, only it was much larger. Immediately reaching for his camera, Shipton then placed his ice axe next to the impression of the footprint to show scale, of course. Then he snapped what would become later a very iconic photograph. Now, by the way, this happened in 1951, okay? This image that he took captured what many believe is irrefutable evidence regarding the existence of, are you ready for it? Yeti. No, not the cooler that you keep your drinks in. Yeti, or more commonly known as the abominable snowman. Now, since that time, explorers, climbers, and legend hunters have searched and scoured the Himalayan region in efforts to locate and identify this elusive, oversized, ape-like creature. Some have claimed to have found similar footprints, heard eerie noises, and even obtained hair samples. A Western version of Yeti soon emerged. We called him Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, depending on where you are in the part of the country. And it has its own complete folklore as well. But despite intermittent chatter regarding the supposed snow beast, no conclusive evidence of its existence has ever been presented. Now, there have been hoaxes, obviously, but nothing of substantial evidence. So aside from the local Nepalese in the Himalayas who keep the monster's legend alive, for, as you wouldn't blame him, for tourist reasons, most scientists now believe the footprint and hair evidence that they've found can be traced to not Yeti, but a bear. In fact, a bear that is indigenous to that very region. You know, for millennia, mankind has nurtured this fascination with mythical monsters and urban legends. These fabricated tales and traditions have long since held our attention, not because they've been proven to be real due to hard evidence in their favor, rather owing more to culture's romance with such mythical creatures. In short, we want to believe they're real. But at the end of the day, reason wins out, and we're forced to concede our fictional fantasy. We eventually view with a sense of pity those who maintain constant vigil in search of such phantom missing links. Now, sadly, in the godless and skeptical age in which we live, the claims of Christianity are often lumped into similar categories of, quote, fairy tale legends. Like those who adamantly argue for the existence of Sasquatch, Christ followers are today mocked for believing in their God, or what atheists sometimes refer to as a flying spaghetti monster. To these unbelievers, Jesus and the Bible are among the legion of urban legends circulating among the superstitious. Like most other myths, they assert the Bible's claims merely give the gullible something to believe in. Now, before we embark in this journey in search of Antichrist, we must first establish whether or not you're merely chasing Bible prophecy's own version of Bigfoot. At the heart of this issue is this: whether there is credible evidence that Antichrist is an actual coming historical figure, or simply Scripture's rendition of the ultimate boogeyman. We have to determine whether there is sufficient evidence and reasons to believe in a real person called Antichrist. Or is he, like Shipton's creature, an elusive beast existing only in the mind? It all boils down to this. Did the Apostle John, upon penning Revelation, simply conjure up this character in his mind like some Stephen King-like literature? Or was it given to him by divine revelation? That there is something or someone that the Bible calls Antichrist is undeniable. I mean, it's in the Bible. No one denies that. And if the Bible is credible and worthy of our trust, then the existence of a future Antichrist is simply a matter of fact, regardless of who believes in it. If, however, the Bible cannot be trusted concerning this claim, then it certainly cannot be relied upon in other areas as well. For if Scripture gets it wrong about history, if it gets it wrong about prophecy, then how can we confidently trust in it when it's speaking basic Christian theology like truth about salvation, or Jesus, or the resurrection, or anything else? That being said, I see four possibilities concerning what this Antichrist could potentially be. You'll find some of this information, by the way, in the back of the book. There's tons more. I have a section called Meet the Antichrist, by the way, where I answer 30 of the most asked questions about the Antichrist. But here are four possibilities, okay? Number one, Antichrist is just a figment of John's imagination. Nothing more than the random ramblings of an aged exiled Jew. I mean, you could chalk up John's bizarre literary tale to what we might call post-traumatic stress from being boiled alive in oil syndrome, which tradition says was John's experience. In which case, we really just need to pity John, bless his heart, as we say in the South. And of course, if this is true, then nothing else in Revelation should be taken seriously or be considered trustworthy and applicable to our lives. Certainly, certainly not God's word. Option number two, Antichrist is not a person, but rather a symbol, pointing to something other than an individual, maybe a governmental system, a secret committee of world leaders, or even artificial intelligence. Number three, Antichrist is merely representative language personifying the principle of evil itself. And you'll have a lot of people that have this interpretation, by the way, because they look at all of Revelation as being symbolic, because they can't conceive of this stuff actually happening, right? So Antichrist is not actual. He's abstract. He's metaphysical. But if Antichrist is merely a concept pointing to the general principle of evil, then what do the rest of the characters and events found in Revelation represent? Are they also literary devices meant to illustrate additional spiritual truths? And with what authoritative deciphering tool do we determine their supposed symbolic meaning? I mean, it's a moot point, right? It's a rhetorical question. I mean, you can't know anything in Revelation unless you know something in Revelation for sure. Option number four, Antichrist is a real person, and he will appear in the end times exactly as the Bible describes. By the way, this past week I was at the largest private school in the state of Arkansas, speaking to over 500 high school students for 3 days on the subject of Bible prophecy. What is it? What's so amazing about it? And what in the world does it have to do with my life? This is basically the three topics that me and my good buddy Todd Hampson covered. And they were blown away. And when I asked, how many people here have ever had the book of Revelation or Bible prophecy taught to you at your church or in your youth group or anything like that? Wow. You could almost count on one hand the number of hands that went up. By comparison or contrast, when we asked them, how many of you have ever thought about recently, you've thought about the end of the world and the end times? Virtually every one of those 500 plus hands went up. What does that tell us? People are curious. People are worried. People are interested. And some people said, man, I can't even talk about Antichrist because it just scares me, right? But option number four, the Bible says he is real and he is going to appear in the end times. It is critical to recognize that how one arrives at a conclusion concerning the nature and reality of Antichrist, that this conclusion is determined by the interpretive approach to prophecy and the Bible as a whole. If the predictions of the prophetic books like Daniel and Revelation are deemed, quote, too bizarre to be taken literally, then perhaps options number two and three that we talked about previously are the most reasonable. If John's recordings and Revelation are seen as too unbelievable to be true, then it is John himself who must be viewed with great suspicion. John himself is the one who is on trial here. For who but a deranged old man dealing with the trauma and the despair of exile would experience such hallucinogenic scenarios as depicted in the book of Revelation? I mean, it's a bizarre book, okay? And if this is the case, then how will we ever be confident that John's recollection of the life and times of Jesus, as recorded in his gospel, are credible, not to mention his other three epistles that he wrote? Well, there goes one-fifth of the entire New Testament right there. My friend, this highlights an important truth, and it's often neglected within Christian churches today, and it's this. The Bible is not a buffet line of truth and myth and history and fantasy where we just kind of walk down the line and choose what appeals to us. And then we just leave the rest behind like, I don't want any potatoes. I don't want any broccoli, right? I just want this stuff. I just want some dessert over here. Quite the contrary. The Bible is a God-breathed chain of revelation containing thousands of interconnected truth links. By the way, they're perfectly interconnected. And if one of those links proves to be false or fails, the entire chain is broken and it comes apart. And what you're hanging on to for your faith, that comes apart as well. Either all of the Bible is trustworthy or none of it can be fully relied upon. Scripture's doctrines, and this is what the church doesn't get today, is that Scripture's doctrines are in like this domino line, okay? In terms of our confidence. And if one goes, then the others are going to go as well. It's just this domino effect. If one falls by the wayside by proving to be false, then the others become immediately suspect as well. So the first stepping stone on our journey in discovering Antichrist is recognize the veracity and complete inerrancy of Scripture. That's the foundation. That's where we begin. You can't begin halfway into it. You have to begin at the beginning. And this is the underlying, not just assumption, but the underlying conclusion that we begin with. And we do that not based upon just because we want it to be true or we want it to be inerrant. It's because it is. Because the Bible has not only proven itself from a textual standpoint to be accurate, but also from an archaeological standpoint as well. Everything the Bible says about science is true. It has all come true. Everything the Bible has said about past prophecies concerning the Messiah, with over 333 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ as Messiah. And guess what? Only 109 of them were fulfilled at his first coming. So that leaves about 224 prophecies that are yet unfulfilled. But here's the thing. All of those other prophecies were fulfilled literally. Not symbolically, literally. And exactly and precisely as the Bible said they would. So why would we then break the chain of logic here and not assume and not conclude that the rest of the Bible's prophecies concerning the end times would also be true literally and exactly as the Bible claims? Now, you say, well, Jeff, there's a lot of symbolism in Revelation. Yeah, there is. But fortunately for you and me, John makes it clear when he's using symbolic language and when he's using literal language as well. So that is just dipping the toe into the waters as to the premise on this study of Antichrist that I'm going to take you through over the next several podcasts again. So I hope that you'll stay tuned and listen to these things in succession. They're going to make a whole lot of sense, and they're going to challenge you and motivate you to build your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.